This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 533, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you. Podcast episode 533. I am Josh Flanagan. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
Who assures me is not typing.
I'm not typing, Josh.
Currently not typing. And Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
Not hello.
Typing. No one's typing.
Does anybody else hear that typing? Anyone at all? This could be a weird one. We are iFanboy. We like comic books. We dislike typing. Every week, we read a stack of our comics, and one of us picks their favorite book, and we call that the pick of the week. We will talk about that book. We'll talk about other books, talk about some stuff, do some things, some other stuff going around, read some things, and talk about it, make the jokes. I just did Cosby, and now I feel bad.
Oh, God.
It just came out. Oh, crap. Anyway, maybe we'll listen to some mail, maybe your input, and talk about that. I'm not going to say it's endless possibilities, but there are some possibilities.
Listen, before we get started, though, Josh, you have to stop typing.
Really long-time listeners would be like, yeah, I know what they're talking about.
It's driving me crazy.
We're going to talk about what happens in the books. It's spoilers. So you know, it's on you. It's your deal. Connor, you had to pick.
I did, and there was a lot of books this week again, which was good. It's good. You know, it's always good to have a lot of good books. I enjoyed most of my stack, but the pick of the week ended up being Batman 51, the final issue for Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, the only team, the only original team from the New 52 to finish off their book before the next reboot. So that should be applauded. I don't know if everyone thought they would, but 51 issues is, you know, give or take one or two fill-ins, is a pretty astounding run in this day and age.
Well, there was more than one or two fill-ins, but it's still a solid run. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, absolutely.
There was one or two. There was a handful.
No, there was. I think there was like six.
Okay, but compared to one, six out of
like one a year. That's, yeah, which is great.
Okay, so that,
yeah,
we'll call that 88%.
Yeah, that's great. No, no, I'm not. It's, I'm not taking away from it. I'm just saying, like, we got, yeah, no, we got some Jock, we got some Rafael Albuquerque. There was Dustin Nguyen. Like, there was other people doing it, but it made sense. And looking back on this, this is the Snyder Capullo run, like that. Yeah.
Well, the point still being that given any other of today's premier artists, do you like? Yeah. You're now, they're, most of them are going to do six on, six off.
Right.
So compared to that, it's like any break that he took, you're like, oh yeah, that's totally got it. That's justified. And even when they did it, it wasn't like that fill-in art. That fill-in artist wasn't a side story.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't the main story. So he did all the real meat of the story.
Capullo's a madman.
He is. I mean, and honestly, looking back on it, this really like revitalized his career.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. It's funny because I just referred to him as like a premier artist, as one of the big guys, and he is now, but he wasn't at the beginning of this. Yeah. Some people might have referred to him as such, but
he was a big name before, but he wasn't really out there in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you what book he did before Batman.
Spawn.
I mean, no, I mean, like immediately
Spawn.
Before Batman.
Spawn.
Was it Spawn?
Spawn and Haunt.
Yeah. He was stuck in McFarland land for years. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't like he was toiling around doing like books at Aspen, waiting for DC to call. Like, I'm gonna type and look this up right now. But
oh wait, no,
oh, now you typed.
But he wasn't. He was born in Schenectady. I did not know that. Before Batman. Literally before Batman, it was Haunt, and before Haunt, it was Spawn. So.
So Haunt.
What books were he? What's he doing?
Haunt and Spawn.
Oh, interesting. So this
God, issue. I feel 8 years younger just right now.
issue 51 was the perfect wrap up issue for this team and these stories. It's a one shot, sort of a decompression after a long story issue in which there's a blackout in Gotham City. It's a Batman, and we're going to get to the big news in a minute. I know you're all waiting to hear about it, but we're going to get to that in a second. But there's a blackout in Gotham City, and Batman is convinced that there's some nefarious reason for it, so he goes all around the city trying to figure it out, and he uses that as a chance to visit in on most of the characters that we've seen throughout this run. We see the Court of Owls. We see, you know, he goes to talk to Jim Gordon. We run into the Riddler and the Penguin. Basically, the only real major character we don't run into is the Joker, and I guess Lincoln March, but I almost said Lincoln Rhyme. Lincoln March, but for the most part, we get sort of a overview of all the different people we've seen in the last couple of years, and it's a definite wrap up of this is the stories we've been involved in for 6 years, and this is Batman, and a great final page, in which we find out that the blackout was totally natural. It was a natural disaster. And Batman on the perch on top of a gargoyle basically saying, I'm going to be watching anyway. I thought it was a great final shot. I'll still watching just in case. And as the sun rises, I think that's really Batman in a nutshell. And also a nice little nod to the first issue with the Arkham almost breakout with all the characters from that first issue who were breaking out in the beginning. So it was just a nice little overview. And the big story is, of course, that somewhere in the middle of the issues, Alfred got his hand sewn back on. He's back to two hands.
Which is just very glossed over, by the way.
Okay, so we thought about this.
Yeah.
The best way to do it.
How long,
first of all,
how long
first
did
of all,
you, how long did you
somebody,
think about it?
Somebody tweeted the iFanboy account with it and spoiled it.
Oh yeah, I was spoiled a lot by people tweeting it. Like, I'm not reading these books immediately as they come out.
Yeah, I need people to not assume that I've read something by 10 a.m. Wednesday. Right. That's key. So let's keep that in mind. Friday evening, you can start to do that.
Yeah. Website.
Friday evening, everyone listening. But at the same time, who gives a shit? Because it was completely like, nah, it's fixed. And I was like, all right, that's what I want. Because I don't want to read a story about how Alfred got his hand back.
So
I want them to tell me in two panels. I don't care. I don't care what kind of hand it is. I want them to just say he's got his hand back and move on. And that's what they did. And that is rad because you can do that in comics. And anybody who's upset that they didn't get a good story explanation out of it, come on now.
I would have liked a nice little backup. I think it can't hurt to have a nice little backup where they show the process. They go into whatever technology was used to do it.
By the way,
it just
cutaways, a map,
the cutaway of his hand and his wrist.
Yeah, exactly. Some sort of visual representation of yeah, exactly. Bell, the building he
charts.
The building he's in while it's happening. Yeah, cutaway. Yeah. That would be nice. So.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What Snyder and Capullo have done here is they've put Batman in a good place to move forward.
They put him back on the shelf.
They put literally all the pieces back together. Batman is in fact even younger, stronger, and in better shape than he was before this book started. Alfred is back together. The city's back to normal. Commissioner Gordon's back to smoking cigarettes on the roof, which I thought we got rid of, but it doesn't matter.
Batman even doesn't have any scars.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What was Batman before this? Like who did this? I know that Snyder did Detective before this for a little while, and I guess.
Oh, you mean who was the?
Like, was he dead? Was that?
Before this, it was Dick Grayson. Remember?
Morrison
on Batman.
So that was the last Batman before this epoch.
Well, I mean, that was 5-6 years ago.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. The point I'm getting at here is that whatever all that was, like, this did actually wipe that out. Which is interesting because one of the things about this, I was thinking about this run in this series.
How long?
I mean, since it started and sort of adding to it, as through there. But when after I read it, I was wondering if.
Whoa, Fabian Issa wrote the last couple of issues. Tony Daniel. Yeah. This was like a.
Yeah.
If you recall, before the New 52 reboot, they were just throwing anybody in the books to get them out and done.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
They were pretty rough.
Right.
David Hine. I mean, this is not an all-star cast of writers.
I wonder if it's good or bad for the legacy of this book that it was part of the New 52, which is generally, I think, will ultimately be considered to be, if not a failure, a blip.
I don't think this will affect this book's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this almost exists outside of it because I don't think of this run existing because of the the status quo set by the New 52.
Yeah, I'm not saying it is. I'm just posing.
I would also venture that this book is bigger than New 52. It's the only real success out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll exist on its own. This will be people will talk about the Snyder Capullo run, and they won't talk about the New 52.
Yeah.
What? And they wrote it in such a way really that it didn't really fit into that anyway.
And this is a better, I'm going to go ahead and say it, like, do we agree, like, this is a better run on this than Morrison's run? Batman RIP, Batman Inc., all those things.
It's a different run.
Yeah, but.
Because
you didn't like that as much as other people. I liked the Morrison run a lot.
I like Batman and Robin for three issues.
I was going to say, let's not forget the Morrison Quietly issues that were just, like, godlike, you know? But.
Yeah, but there was three yeah, issues.
But his whole run on Batman as a whole was great. Batman RP was great. I mean, you may not have liked them, but this is a different kind of story.
I'm not even saying myself. Like, I get it. But did people really like them? I don't ever hear it mentioned anymore.
Yeah. Well, nobody mentions anything that's 5 years old anymore.
No one mentions anything that's a year old anymore.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
get that.
Yeah. How about Siege? I reread Siege the other day. That was great.
Did you really?
Siege was great.
No, but I'm just that, but I'm saying
you
that's
sold
the kind of,
it. I'm sorry.
I know. Like, I really did sell it. Yeah, but that's the kind of thing that you don't hear. So, yeah. So.
No.
Well, there's what's so much good? New stuff. It's almost impossible. I've been reading old stuff at night lately. I just been rereading. That's when I read books at night.
No, I know.
That's
you made it sound like somewhat like illicit. You know, like don't tell anybody I read old stuff at night. You know, like it's.
Before I go to bed, I read some old stuff, and it's nice to go back and read.
Someone walks into the room, and you quickly jump up and like, no, I wasn't reading old stuff. I wasn't. Shut the door.
Pulls up a Battle World issue and puts it over it. No, just reading this. Is that a Golden Age? No.
There's actually a question later on in the email section that deals with older stories that we'll get to talk about that some more. But I think this particular run will transcend the experiment that was the New 52, and it will be talked about on its own as a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
It's the only real success coming. I mean, other than I have the Wonder Woman collection. I have that whole run by Brian Azzarello, and I have the whole run by Snyder and Capullo and trade, and that's really all I have from that that era, other than a couple of random things here and there.
I think I don't even. Yeah, I mean the whole,
but not,
the whole
not
Justice
not
League thing. That was a fart in the wind.
Justice League this week came. It was part 9 of the Darkseid War, and I was like, "This is still going on."
Have you been reading it all along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that closely.
you never mention it. So
yeah, exactly. That's a good sign. Part 10 is next month. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
No opinion on that whatsoever. Let's move on to four kids walk into a bank, number one, which is not the start of a joke.
It should be, though.
Could be.
It could be. This was my pick of the week. This is actually a book. I actually read this book, this issue, over a year ago. Writer Matt Rosenberg, who wrote We Can Never Go Home, or whatever that book was called, from Black Mask, with art by Tyler Boss. And full disclosure, I'm pretty good friends with Matt, and that's one of the reasons why he sent it to me, a long time ago.
And but, also, way before any of you would have heard of Matt Rosenberg, too. So you there's your bona fides.
Yeah, exactly. But I love this. I think this is the best thing he's written. I think Tyler Boss, who I'd never seen before, this is fantastic. This is my pick for best new book of the year. I loved every page of it, and I only have one little nitpick about it, which I didn't realize the first time I read it a year ago, but I noticed it this week when he's introducing the characters. The various characters, we introduced the little girl's father, and the little dialogue balloon says that he's 32, and yet he's except he's got gray hair and a gray mustache, and I'm like, I felt very old at that moment.
given where his story goes, I mean, it was a hard 32 years.
He's got Reed Richards' hair.
Exactly.
I said the same thing. Yeah. Josh, what did you think of this book?
Well, before we get to Josh, that's just gonna be the first of many pedantic observations I have this week. So get ready. So,
okay, oh boy.
Yeah,
those are kind of my thing, but okay. If you want to get in on that, that's okay. And also, like, have you read more? I mean, I don't want to, like, give away anything.
No, I haven't. I purposely have not. I have not read the second issue yet. So
it's a good premise. I liked it. I didn't love it the way that you did. What I noticed about it was I was looking at this and I realized that whatever it was that was happening in David Aja's Hawkeye is becoming an aesthetic.
Yeah.
In terms
definitely
of...
Definitely for a certain set of creators.
Yeah, and I hesitate to use the H word, but I don't want to, but there is a more modern comic book aesthetic, and this fits into that, which I just think is an interesting creative thing that's happening. It's almost like a move away from the sort of Jack Kirby, Neil Adams, bombast, exactly the word, into this other thing, which reminds me of, it borrows from... almost like a Chris Ware kind of thing.
That's my thing. Like Chris Ware, Tyler Boss's penciling style reminded me of Rutu Madan sometimes.
Sure.
You know, like that kind of indie, but alt comic aesthetic. You know, like something.
I was trying not to say the H word.
Something drawn in quarterly. You take away the content of this and show me the art, and I'm like, oh, drawn in quarterly. Like that's what my first thought of. And but then with the story that Rosenberg wrote for this is more in line with like Deadly Foes of Spider-Man.
It's definitely a Nick Spencer-esque
story
aesthetic. Yeah. It felt very much like The Fix.
But also just like I feel like whatever that Aja thing was in there, like it has bled into so many comics.
Totally. Yeah,
and that, and like
it blew
those
a lot
were the
of people's
of
minds. That book really hit like a bomb for especially for other creators.
Yeah. And even the coloring in this, there's a heavy sort of purple and reddishness that goes through the whole thing. Overall with the story, like I liked it and everything. I don't know where it's gonna go.
Yeah.
Which is normal. So I'm not gonna be like, oh wow, it's great, I can't wait for it, because I'm not quite sure what the next part of it is. It's again that's not a first. It's not a first issue complaint.
I feel like the cover kind of tips the hand there, because it says a crime caper in five parts and it's called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. So, you know. I guess
we're not at the point in the story where that has actually been a thing.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the title spoiled me.
Yeah.
There was no bank in this issue, Ron.
Yeah, I know.
I feel misled.
That's the one thing. Like way back when Matt shared this with me, I originally told him to change the title. I said, just call it Four Kids. You know, because I feel like Four Kids walk into a bank is too long, but that's just me.
You got to sell it through the title. I get why that's there.
Yeah.
But it's a really modern comic book. And I realize now that I was like, oh, this is not the new norm, but a new norm.
Yep.
which is really interesting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and the thing is that, like, I know you're trying to avoid the H word, and I think rightfully so. What H word are we talking about?
Hipsters.
Oh, I was saying.
I was thinking hipster. But I don't like, that's a stupid word. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, basically,
you always say that, but you're absolutely 100% wrong.
It doesn't anymore, though. Like, yes, it's applied to everything that is considered.
You just
all
don't like it because people call you that, but it's absolutely a real thing.
Yeah,
it is, but this isn't it. Is my point. Like, it's poorly applied.
Yeah,
I think 75% of the time it doesn't mean anything.
Right. Well, that's super distracting. That not the point I was making. But the point I was making is that, like, I think you're absolutely right about the influence of Asha and Hawkeye in this type of storytelling. But I feel like this existed before Hawkeye in those places like Drawn and Quarterly, and like you said, this is just a style. That said, within it, I enjoyed a lot of the characterization, a lot of the interplay. The characters really felt real to me. You know, like, I could hear this dialogue happening as I was reading the scene. You know, the kids are playing D&D and they're arguing and they're being kids and, you know, like, that sort of thing. Like, I just thought it was really sharp in that regard, and I thought it flowed really well. And then on top of that, I like, you give me 24 page panel, a 24 panel page. And like, that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I like to see. So I like to see something different. So,
To clarify on a point though, taking that Drawn and Quarterly aesthetic, which we're going to call, which is probably not accurate either, but taking that, but then applying it to a mainstream style of comic book storytelling.
Right.
I suppose. And that's what we've got here.
Yeah.
And it's a hybrid.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Yeah. I like it. I like that that's a thing that we're doing. And I mean, that's what comic books have been getting to for the last, you know, decade and a half, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, after reading this, I'm excited. Not only am I excited for the next issue, but I'm excited to see, like, to see Tyler Boss, you know, evolve as an artist. You know, like, I want to see the second issue because I know that this first issue has been done for so long. And I don't know when the second issue got done and how he's evolved and all that sort of stuff.
This looks just like Mark Bagley. What happened?
Yeah. He just totally, it's just like an Alan Davis ripoff. It's just like,
just like, I don't know. I was trying to be more commercial. When? 1986? What have you done?
I'm just really excited about it. I want to see, you know, where it goes. I think together when it's all done and when all five issues are done, hopefully it's going to be a fun little story. But this got me excited for comics again. So, which is good. Which is a good feeling.
Many, many people made note of the credits, which are in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Anyway, we'll talk about stupid. I read Star-Lord number 6 just on a whim. Like, it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to read some books. You know, and
this week?
Yeah,
I had like 30 books this week.
No, I know, but I wanted to try some other stuff, and this is the first issue of a new arc and all this sort of stuff, you know. So I was like, all right, let me check this out. I haven't been reading this since the first issue, and I thought structurally it was a fun issue because it was basically Peter Quill and Kitty Pryde have broken up, and it was parallel storytelling as Gamora is confronting Quill and Rocket is confronting Kitty about their breakup, and you know, one half of the page is one conversation, the other half is the other conversation. It was a nice storytelling tactic, a storytelling kind of device. That said, this kind of represents what I'm struggling with the new Marvel Universe, is that they're giving me a bunch of things that I need to accept as fact that have no weight or no gravity to them. So like the fact that it's supposed to be a big deal that Quill and Kitty broke up, but I never felt like they were together anyway. Like, I know, like, it began when Bendis' run on Guardians of the Galaxy and Quill and Kitty were talking, and then stuff has happened and they did stuff in Battle World or whatever, but like it has no weight to me that they broke up because I never accepted them as a couple, you know? So that was just the thought I had about the current state of Marvel, and I have a similar point in All New Wolverine number 7. Where, you know, X-23 or Wolverine or, you know, Wolverine number 2 teams up with Squirrel Girl and as if they're like old friends. And I'm like, well, they're not old, you know, like, and also didn't Wolverine sleep with Squirrel Girl? Like, didn't we have that insinuated in New Avengers? But
I'm barely following anything you're saying.
It's just the idea that we're gonna team these two characters up and make it seem like they have a history when there is no history.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I recognize that's my challenge as an old man reading these books after 20 years versus some random, you know, new person who's getting into comics now and loves Squirrel Girl or whatever. Like, I get that, but I'm just saying that's what my personal struggle has been.
Well, my question would be, like, is that just you?
It could be.
Like, is this the accepted reality for people?
I think old school. I think there's definitely a old school fan versus new fan are having a conflict right now.
Yeah,
for sure, especially in Marvel.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm not saying the comics are bad. The comics are good. I think Wolverine is a very, very good book. I think Tom Taylor and Marcio Takara did a great job on this issue. It's all stuff, but I feel like I went away for a bit, and then I came back, and everything changed, and I'm just supposed to be okay with the change, but I never went away. You know, so
I'm right here, guys. Okay. Are you the person they want to sell comics to?
That's a good question. Well, I mean,
he's the person they are selling comics to.
Yeah. I mean, I got money.
He's the person that is buying them.
Yeah.
They're addicted to you. That's fine, but they don't want to be.
Right.
Right, but I don't know. I don't believe that there's another group out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Now, that said, something does happen in All New Wolverine number 7 that we need to talk about in the beginning. Are either of you guys reading this book? Or
no.
Okay. The book opens on a flashback to when X-23 was living at the school and she ran away and Wolverine went to go find her, right? And Wolverine pulls up on his motorcycle. It's raining. She's standing on the side of the road. He pulls up on his motorcycle and takes his helmet off.
Uh-oh. I see where this is going.
Wolverine doesn't wear a helmet when he's on his motorcycle. What the fuck?
Oh, I didn't think. I thought this was going to be a hair issue.
No. Why is Wolverine wearing a helmet?
Why would he need to?
Yeah. And at least
it's just a law, and he just doesn't want to get hassled.
Well, that's
New
what
York.
I thought.
Is it in New York?
That's what I thought. No, it doesn't say where. But then I go to look at Old Man Logan by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino, and Old Man Logan's riding a motorcycle with no helmet.
Well, that's a post-apocalyptic hellscape.
Well, no, it's
no, no, no. He's in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, well, I'm going to go with just a couple of things. I mean, the obvious one, if you have to draw a face with Wolverine's hair or you have to draw a helmet, what are you going to do?
Well, he takes the helmet off, and then they draw the hair in the next page.
There's
literally a panel of him putting the helmet back on before he drives away. So
it's a visor thing. He can see better.
So what I want to know is, did Tom Taylor, the writer, specify he's wearing a helmet, or did Marcio Takara, as the artist, say, I'm going to give him a helmet? And why is not Christina Harrington, the assistant editor, catching this?
Okay, here's another thing. The modern motorcycle helmets of today, they're Bluetooth enabled. He can listen to the radio. It cuts out wind noise, and it keeps gunk from going in his eyes. Even if he's got a healing factor, it's still a nuisance.
Makes sense.
I don't know.
And then if New York, and we're going to call it New York just because, if they have a mandatory helmet law, he's going to get pulled over left and right. Like, you know who I am, Bob?
You really think he's worried about getting pulled over? On a day-to-day basis, you think Wolverine is worried about junkie law?
Not about the actual consequences, but he's still going to deal with it. He either has to pull over and wait the time, or he has to go on a car chase. And who's got time for that? It's easy to just wear the helmet. Listen to some tunes.
I don't know.
He's listening to the Allman Brothers, Marshall Tucker Band, maybe some stuff from old-timey stuff.
It's hard to smoke a cigar with a helmet on.
He's not allowed to smoke anymore.
Right. That's what I thought, too. I'm like, is this another case of he's not allowed to smoke anymore, so now he's going to wear helmets? But then I saw Old Man Logan. He's not wearing a helmet, so I don't know what to think. So I would
through the ringer.
I would like a clarification. I'm going to contact Marvel because I would like a clarification on motorcycle helmets and Wolverine on this.
I don't know that I'm fully on board with this protest, so I want to make sure this doesn't get logged collectively.
Oh, no, it's all of my fanboy who's protesting.
I'll tell you what, Andrew Sorrentino can draw a motorcycle, Ron.
Yeah, sure can. He can draw a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about Velvet 14, which was one of two Image books that came out this week that I feel like had been away for a while.
It was.
And we'll talk about the other one in the next segment, but these are two sides of the same coin in that I was kind of confused about a lot of stuff because it had been gone so long. it took me a long time to get up to speed. However, they did end up kidnapping Nixon, so I'm all for that.
Yeah, I gotta say, in this issue, I was like, all right, right, okay, I'm remembering. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but I was a little. I do remember for some reason, whatever that last issue of it was, we really liked it. That's what I remember when I started it. And so I was like, where did we leave off? Which I'm used to feeling. I don't even notice. But then they blackmailed Ford and kidnapped Nixon. I was like, fuck, pick the week. I mean, I don't know that I'm glad I didn't have to make the choice, but you could make a strong argument for that.
Yeah.
And it was like, Mr. President, you're going to want to stay down here for a couple of hours because otherwise you're going to tell everybody the truth. And I was like, that was awesome. It was totally like lame revisionist history stuff, but I still had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, we're on like a every 2 or 3 months schedule with this book right now.
Yeah, I think the last one came out in February, maybe.
Yeah, I'm looking at the release dates. Yeah. February, before that, November, before that, August.
Yeah.
Two to four months.
Cool.
There was a break between April and August between 10 and 11.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Well, I mean, it's the price to pay for art, you know?
I get it. My old addled brain is having a tough time with it. Yeah. That's all.
I actually noticed very specifically that in this issue, I was looking at the way that Epting drew Velvet, and I was like, kind of taken aback. I was like, look, she doesn't have giant boobs. And for like, I noticed that as a thing, like, oh, I'm so used to seeing characters that, and she just has like a different kind of body, and it's like super consistent through everything. And I was like, he's really good. Which is what I think every time I read this. This is a great artist. I like this character. I like how sort of atypical she is compared to all the other characters. And then she dyed her hair red.
There's a lot of redheads in comics.
Yeah. There's also a lot of blowjobs in comics. That's another thing I noticed.
Another thing that happened this week, yeah.
I think I read like sex, and then I read this like right after, and I was like, what is with all the blowjobs?
All right.
But I don't know if that's just me.
That might just be you. Okay, so if you want comic books about blowjobs, or any books about blowjobs, or any books, or anything, you should go shop on Amazon. And in doing so, you can help iFanboy out in the process. You can go to ifanboy.com/support, and there is a link there where you can start your shopping over on Amazon and start your adventure down that path that I wish you luck on.
You're a great copywriter.
Yeah. In doing so, we get a little kickback from Amazon. Nothing comes out of your pocket. You just buy the stuff that you want to buy at Amazon, and Amazon pays us a little bit for sending them your way, or sending you their way. It's very confusing. And also over on ifanboy.com/support, there are links there where you can sign up for an ifanboy.com membership, or you can directly donate to us via PayPal, and we thank everyone for their support. You help keep the iFanboy ship afloat. We appreciate it. All right, moving on. Daredevil number 6. I had two. My first main thought was: Did you look at the cover?
Yes.
Okay. How in the world is the name of the story arc Electric Connection okay in this world in 2016, where they spelled electric half like Electra?
Listen. Is a problem, but I got over it because I didn't really think about it after that.
I know, but I looked at it. I was like, oh, come on. We can't do better than that. Electric Connection. and also, it is very clear that the whole purpose of this book is to pull in people who are watching the show, which is fine, which I get. You know, but like the timing, I was like, oh, yeah, they're definitely like, if anybody's calling them out for that or whatever, like, this is the one that is exactly, you know, it's not exactly the TV show, but it's definitely familiar for anyone watching the TV show, which makes perfect sense.
So. I don't blame anybody doing this book for bringing in Elektra, but I did have a moment like, remember when she was dead?
Yeah.
And then I went, remember when all of them were dead? But it was like a thing, like it mattered.
Yeah.
And now, for a long time, it was a joke, like they're always going to come back. Now it's not even a joke anymore.
Yeah, it just is.
It's there are no dead characters anymore.
That's always been the case in comics.
But they're all back. And then they killed them
again. For a long time, there was only the three or four that stayed dead. Everyone else came back on a regular basis. That's the way comics work.
I don't like the theme that I'm coming up with in this, again, is, why is it going to be like this now? But I like, genuinely remember, like, the whole reason that first Daredevil Elektra story was great was because she was killed.
Yep.
And now, Like, you don't buy anybody getting killed. And that's I don't know.
I don't buy it.
It's funny because I realized that what it and all comics ever were was the illusion of permanence. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
You got to live in the moment as you're reading it and not think about it.
You're not even trying anymore, though.
Well.
Electric Connection.
I think we should mention Matteo Bufagni, who was the fill-in artist. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the art.
I really wondered. I was like, how did they find a guy? Really like, can you draw mostly like this? like it's not like they found a guy who that was his style, because they were trying to stick with it. But yeah, it was good work. They stuck with the aesthetic of the book.
Yeah, I mean, this book's really good. I really enjoy it, especially after watching the show. I'm sort of more into Daredevil at the moment.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, speaking of blowjobs.
Sex 27 was the opposite side of the coin in that I don't know when the last time this book came out either, but for some reason, this is a book I have no trouble remembering. Remembering the story, the characters, the relationships. I mean, it's all, there's a lot of people here, just regular people. And I have no trouble remembering no matter how long the break is. I don't know why that is, but maybe because I love it.
You know why? Because they're fucking.
Because of all the blowjobs?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that's it. That helps you remember things. Fucking.
I just love this book. And
yeah, it's a great book. It's fucked up.
It's not as fucked up
as you think it is based on the content, though.
No, it's not.
I like that dichotomy a lot.
So we haven't had a new issue this since December, so it's been a while.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, too, yeah.
I guess the only thing I could say about this is that the flashback costume that the Robin character wears is dumb. Like, it doesn't really fit into the aesthetic that they've established for the Simon's alter ego.
That's done on purpose? I mean, because he doesn't really fit in.
Maybe.
I mean, it's an easy way to visually sort of clue you in that, like, this isn't working.
Right.
Because it didn't work.
This lawyer guy is going to get, he can't catch a break.
This the which one? The one who had to, because there's two.
The lawyer guy who was having sex with a Japanese woman.
Okay.
Who's always being said to have weird sex by Simon.
Yeah, because then there's the other guy who, I don't know, maybe he's not a lawyer, but the one who's in counseling with his wife, who's learned how to be a pervert, and he's also having a rough go of it. And he had that one flashback of her falling off the building, and I was like, "Ooh, that's grim."
Yeah, that's what you think about the couples therapy. Apparently, is shoving her out the window.
I don't believe the therapy is working at that point.
So, I just think this book's wonderful. I think Joe Casey's great.
Cool. I wanted to touch base on Jacked number 6, which was from Vertigo.
Blowjobs in this one?
Not in this issue, but it is definitely like, it's like an old school Garth Ennis type Vertigo book. It's not Garth Ennis, but it is drawn by John Higgins, who you may remember from Ennis's first arc on Hellblazer. Dangerous Habits, I think. I'm almost sure that is the same artist. And he might have been the colorist on Watchmen. But it's like this story of this like loser schlub dad who buys some stupid like health supplement from the back of a magazine or something, and it gives him superpowers momentarily. And he kills his next door neighbor who's a criminal, and then like his whole life sort of falls apart. But he has to find out that he's a man, whatever. And it was I didn't talk about it the whole time I was reading it because I wasn't really sure what I thought about it, and I'm still not. But at the end of it, like I was kind of like, people should know about this. If that's the kind of thing that you're into, like, remember that really, that late 90s, like, really violent, almost anarchic sort of, like, life is hell, let's just kill a lot.
Everything sucks, let's just drink and get blowjobs. And
yeah, but it's that thing, like, later, like, he's like, guy who's trapped in a marriage with kids, and he's shitty his job, and he's fat, and he's got erectile dysfunction and all that stuff, and it just felt like a comic from a different age, and I kind of enjoyed it. It was definitely perverse. It was fucked up.
Can you relate to it?
Nope. Listen, everything here works terrific. It's terrific. I got the best people on it.
We're all fine here. We're fine here.
How are you?
So Batgirl 51 is funny because, you know, with a month or so to go till the DC Rebirth, we're at the same sort of point where we talked about earlier, where the books before the reboot sort of fall apart. And here, the creative team of Batgirl that revitalized the book is mostly gone. You only have Brendan Fletcher doing the writing. No Cameron Stewart, no Babs Tarr, because I guess they're off to do their image book or whatever. But it's sort of like we got to the end of the marathon and everybody fell on their face right before the finish line. It's just interesting that this celebrated team and this book didn't finish off this run of Batgirl. That's my observation on this one.
No, that's sometimes how it goes.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
This particular one is so creative team dependent that this issue was fine. The fill-in art was fine. It was two artists doing it. It was in the style of the book, but it just a little bit of the spark wasn't there.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Oh, well. Next.
I've been reading Ms. Marvel because all of you people told me about how good you thought it was. And I liked this issue a lot. I've been reading it for like since the reboot, basically. Mm-hmm. And I kind of dug the end of it, which is, you know, pretty basic, like life lesson for the teenage characters. You can't be everything to everyone and try to do everything. And you know, make sure you're paying attention to the important things, even though there's other things why you think are important. At one point, Iron Man gives her a hug, and I thought that can't be comfortable.
No.
But then I thought, wait. Then I thought, is his armor actually still stiff now, or is it like bio? Like, can it be soft and yielding when it needs to be?
Probably not.
Because I have bike pads that if you fall, they're flexible, but if you fall, it toughens up. You could do something like that. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. It's a good book. It's really really unique and interesting, and I feel like they're definitely letting that team run with it, which is really kind of fun and cool, and I'm glad people are responding to it.
It felt like a Simpsons episode where, you know, she had a problem in which she's a teenager, so she has to be at school, but she's also on the Avengers, but she's also her brother's getting married, but also she's got her friends. She can't be everywhere at once, so she clones herself. And then the clones start replicating, so there's hundreds of her clones running around, so then they...
Is someone having Iron Man armor applied right now?
Yes.
Okay.
My armor's being buffed. Okay. So then they engineer a dinosaur that only seeks out the clones to go kill the clones, but that runs amok. It felt like, you know, that episode where they feed the snakes to eat the rats, they get the...
Yeah.
You know, and then so then the Avengers have to show up to save the day. But I thought this was also just a great issue.
But then the other thing is, like, she made the call.
Yeah.
And they were like, sure, we'll come help. Good job. That was stupid, but you fixed it, so we're good.
When you need help, call. And also, you can go to your brother's wedding. It's okay.
Like, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's yeah, like good sweet. Yeah. There you go.
It makes me want to watch Multiplicity.
Yes.
Great movie.
All right.
Great Michael Keaton movie.
Super underrated.
Super underrated, yes. Finally, last book we're going to talk about this week is Avengers Standoff, Assault on Pleasant Hill, Omega number 1. This is the...
Classic title.
Classic Marvel title. This is the ending bookend to the event, the Avengers event that Nick Spencer was leading about Avengers Standoff that was... which I've been reading and has been wholly forgetful, as evidenced by the fact that I haven't talked about it until now. And the only reason why I'm talking about it is because there are two artists on it. Daniel Acuna, who is just delightful, as we all know. Acuna is great, is stellar. And then there's Angel Unzueta, I'm mispronouncing that, but whose art style is different. And there's a big moment in the book when Steve Rogers appears and he is now back to his normal age, right? And there's even a comment about that, about how he's back to his age. And then at the end of the issue, Maria Hill is wrapping up what happened to the Shadow Council. And they say, well, what about the Avengers? And she goes, well, I've met with the Avengers leadership. And it goes to a flashback of her meeting with everybody at a table. And there's Steve with gray hair. And it's like, come on, guys.
That's way worse than the helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So
yeah.
So I don't know, whatever. Nitpick, pedantic, I know, but you want me to believe this stuff or not? You know?
No, that one I gotta
Is it a coloring mistake or is he drawn old too?
He looks old. He's drawn old. It's not just coloring, he's drawn old. And the thing is
Acuna
that
colors himself.
No, it was the different art. It wasn't Acuna.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Sorry.
So it's just an example. Like continuity across the line or in the publishing line, I'll bend on continuity in an issue. You gotta get that right. You gotta get that right.
Internal continuity has to make sense.
Yeah, exactly. So just a little pedantic comic note, but other than that, it doesn't matter because this was forgettable. So
So this was the event leading up to Civil War II, right?
No,
this is the story leading up to Civil War.
This is a story, yeah. I mean, basically, it all, Zemo was in it. I mean, it kind of
is what's been going on in Captain America.
Yeah, it's related to Captain America and what's been going on in Avengers. I mean, Cosmic Cube esque stuff. They set up this town of villains. It was like a prison for villains where they were using the Cosmic Cube to make them all think that they were just regular citizens. And then
you know what it's like. It's like what? Springfield.
Yeah,
I mean, not exactly, but
yeah.
Celebration.
So, yeah, Celebration, yeah. Anyway, so those are the books that we read this week. Go to ifanboy.com and you can comment on this post if you want to comment on these books or any other comics that you might have read this week that you thought were notable. We got some listener feedback that we're going to go through right now. We got our first email. Connor, why don't you give it to us?
It's from Bill Bobo Simone.
Nice.
Who you may remember. While enjoying Goodfellas Minute, I started listening to iFanboy, despite not having read comics for pretty much 20 years. And damn you guys, I'm getting the itch to start up again. I've known some of the big storylines that made it to the wider audiences, like Spider-Man's marriage being forgotten, Jim Gordon as Batman, etc. But there's plenty I have never had an inkling about since when did Peter Parker become a nice guy, Tony Stark? Anyhow, my question is this. What recommendations for getting back into the hobby do you suggest? Not necessarily titles, but things to know that may have changed or other key resources. Are comic book stores subscription still a thing, or is the main way to get books via Comixology? Does Rob Liefeld still draw pouches within pouches? Who besides you guys do I need to be paying attention to?
I don't know.
I was like,
Of all these questions, I can answer one of them definitively.
Okay.
Rob Liefeld does still draw pouches, and he draws pouches within pouches, and he's happy to tell you all about pouches.
He loves pouches. They're handy. You can keep things in them.
I gotta give Liefeld credit. He has embraced himself,
yes.
It's delightful to watch. I got to hang out with him briefly at the Captain America premiere down in LA, and he was just like in all of his Rob Liefeld glory, and it's all happening. Deadpool's a success. It looks like X-Men are on a good path, and you know, it looks like Cable is coming. Like they're doing it. You know, Cable's going to be in a movie. Like it's all happening for him, and he will draw you pouches if you ask him to. So yeah.
He's not going to reject the pouch.
No, he's not going to reject the pouch.
The pouch got him here.
He's not better than the pouch. That's the thing. Yeah, yeah. He definitely knows his roots. So, yeah.
So 20 years ago, we were in college.
Yeah.
And what has changed basically in the comic book world between now and then?
Everything.
You can certainly get your comics via Comixology, but most people still go to the comic store.
Yes.
The vast majority of people still go to the comic store. And I assume you can have a pull list there. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing that's changed. You have that choice. You can read them however you want. Trades.
Collections. Yes, yes.
That has changed incredibly. At that point, 20 years ago, if you missed a story, you had to hunt back issues and find them. And now every significant storyline, for the most part, has been collected, and you can buy, you know, at a bookstore, at Amazon, at a comic shop. You can order it or whatever. There's a billion ways to read that history.
It's the point when a new series comes out, from an Image or a Dark Horse, you can not get the first issue, hear what people are saying about it. Go, okay, fine, then I'll get the trade because the trade will come out immediately when the five issues are out. Whereas 20 years ago, you if you saw something, you had to buy it because who knew if it was going to be reprinted or if you'll ever find it again.
Right.
You know? So, there were numerous times when I was traveling or like I would visit a comic book shop or go to a convention and I'd see something like Stray Bullets or I'd see something like Strangers in Paradise and I would buy it on the spot because who knows if you can find it. Now it's much easier to find this stuff and order it and, you know, Amazon and all that stuff. So
digitally, great. Great resources for that. They're a lot more expensive than they used to be.
Yep.
Because their whole audience are mostly 40-year-old men, so they'll keep buying them.
Yep.
Is that a bad generalization? Because it's still true. Are store subscriptions still a thing? Yeah, it depends on the store.
It depends on the store, but for the most part, most comic book stores, any good a comic book store worth its salt will have some sort of pull list subscription because that's basically how they guarantee recurring revenue. So
Ron, what do you do at your store?
I have a pull list.
Do you give your customers pull lists?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you got to make sure you get that money coming in.
A lot more synergy between the media properties and the books now. So you'll see if you've seen the films or the TV shows, like we were discussing earlier with Daredevil, you'll recognize a lot more. People have characters have molded and changed to fit what they've done in other media properties.
I think you're going to find that storylines in general usually last about 6 issues now. There'll be, you know, it used to be you'd do an issue here or there and whatever, but usually things come in 6-issue chunks. There's multiple places where you can start reading something. Here's the thing. If you don't know something, you didn't have Wikipedia back then.
Yeah.
Right.
You can find out anything that you don't know what's going on.
Which I do kind of miss. I mean, we talked about it before, but I do miss the spending hours in the shop going, okay, wait a minute. Who's Lila Cheney? And then, like, and you know, and doing that kind of, like,
Or picking up a random issue and then I got to find the next one to find, and then going back and figuring out who's, it's a different world also.
Yeah, it's a kind of campfire reminiscing. You know, I miss that. Like when you're with a group of people and you're like, going, oh wait, no, I read a story where this happened, and you're like, kind of.
It's almost like we're missing the oral tradition of storytelling.
Yes, exactly.
Because now we have archives, and we're like, ah.
Exactly.
But it's true.
My final point for Bobo is that numbers aren't as important anymore
at all.
The books are constantly being rebooted at number one, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. Comic book art is more varied and better than it has ever been. And the people making comics are pretty good if you add a lot of different things. Where they sort of
people making comics are pretty good, Josh, I fanboy.
No. I honestly think that the art is better and more varied than it's ever been. Like before you'd have guys kind of all look this, you know, sort of the same. There was house styles and things, and there'd be one or two guys who broke the mold, but now there's whatever you want you can get. Like there's a ton of diversity in style going on right now, so it's almost like there's so much. Like if I was to come in now, there'd be so much choice. It'd be like, what the hell do I do with all this? Right. Which is also a concern.
A lot of books also.
Yeah.
A lot of books, and also the books come out more often.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of books coming out more often, and I think it's harder if you, I don't know. I mean, it's harder to keep up, I think, because books are coming out faster. Does that make sense? You know, like, it's easier to miss an issue now.
Nothing, there's no time to breathe because the next book comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on, Bobo. You'll be fine.
Bobo.
Also, Bobo had an addendum to his email saying he liked his nickname from Goodfellas Minute.
Whenever I hear Bobo, I think of, do you remember there was a state sketch about a clown miming flying a plane and Thomas Lennon?
I hear Thomas Lennon saying Bobo, but I don't know why.
There's a big button in front of you and it says Bobo. Press it.
That's interesting. I like that you are carrying on the oral tradition of the state on your lonesome.
I will find that. I will find that sketch for you. Josh, why don't you read the next email?
I first started listening to Jeff from Muncie, Indiana. Jared from Muncie, Indiana. I first started listening to iFanboy about a month ago at my new desk job. Since then, I have listened in reverse order to every pick of the week from now through episode 461.
Wow.
To help pay for the bandwidth I'm using, I clicked an Amazon link. We thank you. In the past, I have ordered about 40 DC Showcase Presents and Marvel Essentials, but recently I've noticed the Golden Age omnibuses, omnibuy, pop up, and now it looks like DC is starting to make trades of some of these omnibuses. I know Connor said there's lots of things you can say. That's another thing that's changed, Bobo. I know Connor said he used to buy the DC Chronicles, but it now looks like they stopped making those. How do you guys like to read your Golden and Silver Age stories? Is there a format that's comfortable size and weight-wise for you? Are some versions a lot better quality? Should I start collecting these trades, or are they going to start a new version in a few years? Connor?
Well, first, a couple of things before I get into the meat of it. One, it must be weird to listen to them in reverse order, because then you don't, the jokes that build, you don't understand until you get to the beginning.
Right. Exactly.
You are giving us a lot of credit.
I was like, maybe it doesn't really matter because the jokes aren't that good.
Yeah.
Second, the last question.
You're getting younger and younger.
And less bitter and cynical.
Yeah.
So
I see going start, that way being a thing.
Should I start collecting these trades, or are they going to start new ones? There's just really no way of knowing. They probably will. But I wanted to mention this because I have been purchasing these new hardcovers that DC's been putting out. And whoever is in charge of DC's collections has been really great. They're collecting everything. Stuff I never thought would see the light of day is being collected. They're collecting the Mike Grell Green Arrow run. They're collecting all of the Chuck Dixon Batman stuff, the Nightwing books, the Robin books, the Birds of Prey books from the 90s and 2000s, and I never thought I'd see those collected. They're all being collected too. But the ones he's talking about are really great hardcover collections of Batman, Superman, Justice League, World's Finest, Wonder Woman, that they're doing in these nice, big, oversized hardcovers. Not oversized, but thick hardcover, like omnibus size. They all have Darwin Cook covers. And they're all really great. I have so far all of the ones that have come out. And that's my new thing. He was right. I was buying all the DC Chronicles. They stopped doing those. They got about 11 volumes into Batman before they stopped. I'm hoping that these come out because they're so big, they will cover more material quicker. And these will be the definitive collections because they're really beautifully produced.
Hope they're selling.
I hope so.
For your sake.
They're really great, though. If the covers are by Darwin are wonderful.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah. But they're also doing the Silver Age ones. I just bought the Silver Age Justice League Volume 1, which is Volume 2 is coming out soon. And, I like having these oversized ones on the shelf. They're great display items, but they're also a great way to have all these old issues in one go. Yep. That's how I like to read them.
I would go ahead and just say one more thing to Bobo. Go read The New Frontier.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, what are you going to read from the last 20? Go read The New Frontier by Darwin Cook from DC. That's my advice to you.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's just a thing.
All right. We have a voicemail.
What?
Hey, fellas. It's Eric from Detroit. Question for you. I just got done listening to the episode where you go over the Eisner nominations, and I'm just wondering, if you had to submit one of your episodes, just one, from your entire catalog for an Eisner for Best Comics-Based Podcast, which episode would you pick? Now, I've only been thinking about this question for about 2.5 minutes, so if it's not up to standards, I understand. But my personal choice would have to be when Ron strokes out on Rusty Auto Parts. I don't even remember anything else about that episode, but that was enough to be a highlight for me. That's it. Keep up the great work. See ya.
Well, I applaud Eric for figuring out to record some audio and attach it to an email now that we no longer have the voicemail line, and we encourage you to do that as well, too. If you keep it down to 30 seconds and make sure to say your name and where you're from and send it to us as a MP3 or a WAV file, we'd be happy to answer your voicemails on the show. So good job, Eric.
Audio quality much higher
wonderful.
On these than the phone.
Yeah, very, good very job. Good. But,
he can't stalk the streets while he's recording. I guess you could.
You could. Yeah, smart. You absolutely could. Okay. But so to answer your question or to respond to your pick, I would not choose that episode, not because it paints me in a bizarre light, but because it really doesn't add anything to the world of comics other than a funny moment. You see, the Eisner isn't actually a comedy award. It's not these guys think they're funny. It's not a comedy award. Rather, I think it would be more about what adds to the discourse of comics. And to be honest, I would add last week's episode because I thought that was a great episode and had some good comic talk. You know, like it's recent and it's
Well, I think there has to be a combination of quality comic talk, but also super entertaining.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
because the whole point of the show is to be entertaining. And if there ever was, and in this bizarro Earth 2 where they finally recognize podcasts, if they ever have that kind of award, it has to be entertainment. Has to be a factor in it because they're entertainment shows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't pick one either. That's a great moment, but that.
Yeah.
If you're going for that kind of crazy moment, I would go for more of the Thor, because that went for the whole episode.
Oh yeah.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. But I would agree with you. I would want to find a more show that was sort of good all the way through, you know, with good commentary, funny jokes or whatever. And it was a solid hour as opposed to a solid 2 minutes into the hour.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd want some good, you know, comic discussion, not criticism, you know, criticism, you know, like some good, but also is entertaining and funny. And honestly, I thought last week's episode was one of our best episodes in a while. I thought it was a really good episode, so.
So we've come down hard this week.
Yeah, it came down real hard this week. Yeah.
You guys they have to wait until the DC Rebirth issues come out.
Yes, yeah.
You know what? I might submit those from that first month. We reviewed all the New 52 because those were really fun and funny shows, but also had good commentary in them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Josh, are you coming around on that? Are you going to join us in reviewing the DC Rebirth books? They've been calling for you on Twitter to do it.
Well, yeah. Well, when you ask a bunch of people if a person that should do something that, you know, that they have no
hashtag Josh
that
ratings.
They want,
hashtag Josh ratings.
People will say yes. I do want that. We'll have to see. How about that? Right. Yeah, cheers.
There you go.
If you have any questions or comments that you want to get in the conversation, email us to contact@ifanboy.com. You can, like Rod said earlier, you can also record a voicemail and send it that way too.
I have a hard time thinking of like these shows that we did because they all blend together, and the things that we remember are like the gags. I can think of video shows that we did where I thought like, oh, that was great, or interviews.
I have no memory of any of it. Like literally, when Ryan Hauft was on Star Wars Minute for talking about episode one, and he's like, "Oh, you gotta." He heard I was coming on the show. He's like, "You gotta ask Ron about the podcast review that they did of the episode one in 3D." And so then I go on Star Wars Minute, and Pete the Retailer goes, "Oh, well, Ryan said we should ask you about this episode one podcast you guys did." And I'm like, "Well, it sounds like something we do." Yeah, it was like, but I honestly, I could not tell you what happened on that podcast.
I remember some of the movie ones. The G.I. Joe podcast I liked a lot. In fact, any of the early year episodes when we started talking about G.I. Joe and it started coming up a lot, I always enjoyed those.
Well, that's just because you enjoyed them, not because they were good.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. The conversation about four kids walking to the bank, I thought that was...
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Yeah,
I like that.
So
does anyone else want to hear what we think of ourselves?
To circle back to earlier in the show, it was season 2, episode 1 of The State, and the sketch is called Mime Crash, where there's a mime pretending to fly a plane, and they get a pilot to come to talk him down, and that's where there's a big button that says Bobo. So there you go.
contact@ifanboy.com if you want to get in the show with your email or your voicemail. So we have other podcasts coming up, and we've also done some recently. We did a Daredevil season 2 podcast. Myself and Ron and Mike Romo got together to talk about that. It's behind this couple shows back in the feed, but you can still listen to that if you haven't watched. Somebody wrote on Twitter they were going to listen to it before watching the season, and I don't recommend doing that. The show will always be there. Watch the show. Daredevil first.
Yep.
Yeah. So you can find that if you listen to, or if you watched Daredevil, you want to hear what we thought of it.
Yep. And coming out soon is Captain America: Civil War, the movie event of May, of early May. not to get in the way of X-Men, which is coming out in late May. But we will be seeing it and figuring out how we're going to talk about it on a podcast. So stay tuned for that.
Do you want to reiterate the guarantee you gave last week, Ron?
We will. All three of us will record a podcast talking about that movie. It might come out in August, so deal with it.
I don't make promises. So Bobo came from Goodfellas Minute.
Bobo.
Which surprised me. I thought, oh, there won't be anyone who goes from Goodfellas to iFanboy. That's absurd. But apparently that's a thing, which is rad.
Both smells are new listeners. That's nice to hear.
Wow. Yeah. My first instinct there was to apologize, and I don't know what that's about. We completed Goodfellas Minute, where we went through the movie Goodfellas 1 minute at a time. There are 145 episodes that we did, where we talked about that movie in great detail, and we had a lot of fun doing that, which made us laugh. So there's laughter on those shows. Whether you like that, that's up to you. I don't know. But you can go to goodfellasminute.com and find out.
You'd be surprised at people who don't like laughing.
That's what I was alluding to. There were some people who gave us negative reviews because we were laughing. And I was like, well, I'm not doing this so you have fun. Doing it for me to have fun.
Oh, God.
Head over to ifanboy.com to comment on this show. You can find other podcasts like the Daredevil podcast. You'll be able to find Captain America Civil War there next week-ish. You can follow us on you can follow all the action at facebook.com/ifanboy and @ifanboy on Twitter. That's where you can find out what the pick is before the show comes out. And you can follow us individually at J.A. Flanagan, at C.S. Kilpatrick, and at Ron XO.
Yes. And if you enjoy the show and you think it should be nominated for an Eisner, you can write a review in iTunes and say that. And make sure you write a review.
Won't accomplish anything, but
hey, at least you'll be heard. At least you had a moment. But go to iTunes, write a review of this show, of Goodfellas Minute, of any other podcast that you enjoy. It helps other people to discover it and all that fun stuff. So we appreciate everyone who's done that. And also, you know, like we say it every time, but you guys help us spread the word. If you like this episode, post up on Twitter or Facebook about it, or tell folks at your comic book shop or your friends or anything. Say, hey, check this out. Podcasts are best enjoyed when they're shared. So there you go.
The podcast for a dish best served cold.
That's going to wrap it up for this week. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Bobo.
Bobo.
Bobo.